and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our senior pastor, Roy Sutherland.
Well, this morning as we come to the preaching of the Word of God, we're in 2 Timothy. We're getting ready to dive into chapter 3. If you are new to us or with us, or maybe have missed a week or two, we have come to the point in 2 Timothy where now Paul begins to urge Timothy as a servant of the Lord. He finished chapter 2 speaking to Timothy about being the servant of the Lord, how that he should be gentle, meek, always instructing people with the Word of God, especially those who oppose the Word of God, to instruct them, to teach them with meekness and gentleness, with a desire, with a hope that the Lord would grant repentance to them, that they would come to their senses and realize their need for God's word in their life to change them. And he mentioned that word repentance, that they would be turned to a repentant heart. And so he's been urging Timothy as a servant of the Lord to remain faithful as a servant of the Lord. When we get to chapter 3, there's sort of a turn of things in this letter to Timothy. Now Paul starts looking forward. As a matter of fact, much of chapter 3 is prophetic in nature. It's starting to happen at this time in Timothy's life, in the life of the church at Ephesus. But Paul begins to look forward, and as he has encouraged Timothy as a servant of the Lord, now he starts saying, Timothy, understand as a servant of God that there are some things that are about to happen that's going to make it difficult for us to continue in our service. We will be opposed. There will be all kinds of things that will come against us. It primarily will work through the lives and the hearts of people. I don't know if you can recognize this today before I ever read the scriptures, but we're living in a world that sort of lost all sense of direction. If you recognize that, we really don't know where we're going. We know that we're on a path somewhere, but we don't know where we're headed. And young people, and it's not just young people, middle-aged people and older people, it's like we've lost all sense of direction in our world. And Paul is really going to start pointing Timothy to what we just sang about, that the only hope that we have as we move forward in the church age is the faithful Word of God, that we have to lean on it and believe that. Otherwise, we are all people who've lost direction. I read the joke, or I'm sure it was a joke, of the pilot who lost his GPS controls in his plane. Didn't know where he was going, but he could still see his speed. And so in order to encourage all the passengers, he got on his system and he said, "Don't worry. Do not worry at all. I don't know where we're going, but we're making really good time getting there." That's sort of where we are in a spiritual sense. A lot of people have no idea where they're headed, but they're headed there fast. Life is spiraling out of control. And by the way, before I ever get in this chapter, chapter 3, I want to make something very clear to us. We have so often misrepresented the Word of God here, not intentionally, when I say we, most of us. Because when you read chapter 3 and begin reading chapter 3, you want to think that this chapter is written to indicate the way the world is going to be outside the doors of the church when you read 2 Timothy chapter 3. It is not written at all in that context. Paul is writing to Timothy to say, Timothy, in the days that lie ahead, this is how it's going to be in the church and for the church. We often consider this is how the world's going to be living. No, this is the environment. We're going to talk about the climate in a moment of how it's going to be in the church and for the church in this period known as the last day. So let's read, understanding that, looking prophetically forward from Paul's day and Timothy's day to where we are today. Chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. By the way, did I say he's talking about the church people here? Not the world, the church. Lovers of self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, no control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And then he says to Timothy, from these kind of people, turn away. Turn away from them. Stay away from them. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. They lead captive silly women, weak-willed women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then he gives an example. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. In the last days. It's very important that as we begin this message this morning, and I'm not sure how far along we will get this morning. I realize that there's an awful lot here, and I don't want to rush it by not getting done just today. So I'm not sure where we'll stop today, but I'm sure we will not complete this one message. We have to understand what it means by the last days, in the last days, in the last days. If you read your scriptures very carefully, and you can find this very easily, the last days, this word term last days, actually defines that period of time from the first advent of Christ, Christ's first coming, to his second coming. It's that period where Christ came. The writer of Hebrews says that God has spoken to us in these last days through his Son. He sent Christ, and from the period Christ came to when he's going to come again is that period known as the last days. It's that time in time where God was going to complete his purpose for his people just as he promised. Now, I realize that all through the Bible, you will find this to be true. You read it in the New Testament. When God said that the last days were going to come and then Christ is going to return, people scoff at that. They think that that's just a joke. They think that we weak-minded Christians just can't live other than thinking that our hope is in Christ. And so they say, well, when is he coming? We've been watching for his coming. He hasn't come yet. Don't be fooled by that. He will come. Just as sure as you're breathing right now, the Lord will come. And he said he'll come as a thief in the night, just when we least expect it. He will come. And between the time that he comes again and when he started his ministry on the earth, when God revealed himself to us through his Son, this whole period is known as the last days. Now, that word, that phrase last days, it talks about different seasons. When you talk about a period of time, seasons, there are seasons when we talk about time. Some of those seasons will be filled with difficulties. Some will be days perhaps of rejoicing, but there will be ups and downs. But this is what you need to know about the last days. The closer we get to the return of Christ, the more difficult the days. The closer we get to the return, according to the Bible, not my words, according to the Bible, the closer we get to the return of Christ, the more difficult the days. In other words, we can judge how close it is for the return of Christ by looking at how difficult it is for the child of God to live in this world. So he says, in the last days, there are some things that are going to happen. He begins by defining what I call the climate of the last days. He says, in the last days, perilous times is what the King James word that is used. Perilous times will come. Dangerous, terrible times in the church and for the church. It will be a period of apostasy, is that word that we use. Spiritual darkness will reign. And notice what I'm saying. Not out there. It's always reigned in the world. Spiritual darkness has always prevailed in the world. People who don't know God have always acted the way people who don't know God. From the very beginning of the creation of man till today, those who don't know God have always acted like those who do not know God. But when Christ comes into our life, he changes us so that we behave differently, we act differently. He changes our lives. We become strange to the people around us. But he's not talking about, he says there will be difficult, dangerous times in the church. It will be a time we call apostasy, where spiritual darkness will reign. It will be prevalent in the church. Many people who have at one time in life stood firm on the word of God, on the principles of our faith, will deny the faith and turn away from those very principles that at one time guided their life. That's what apostasy means. A darkness, a spiritual darkness among people who call themselves followers of God. That's why later we're going to see they have a form of godliness. That's the key that's for the church. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of it. There's form, but there's no reality to it. It's a religion without a reality. And so in the church, it's going to be difficult, difficult days. It will start through the false teachers. That's why Paul has warned Timothy about all of these false teachers and what they will be teaching. And folks, nobody likes to hear this. People get offended at me when I say it. They get offended at you when you say it. You better be careful who you listen to and what they teach. Because it all begins from the mouth of false teachers. We see this morning, we'll get to that point where they will lead many astray. Many people today that I know and you know who once were just so strong in what they believed the Word of God taught have now lent their ears to people who've told them and taught them that the Word of God really doesn't mean that. It means something far less than that. And you don't have to really take that kind of a stand. You don't have to really believe all that and embrace all that. It's not really like that, because the God that we believe in is not a God that will judge people anyway. He's a God that loves people. And he's not a God that makes life difficult. He's a God that makes life easy. Not so. Following Christ has never been easy. It never will be easy. So in the church, it's going to be a climate of difficulty. He says, difficult days, terrible days. Sounds familiar to me. Every day, we find people who turn away from the faith, who scoff at those of us who are faithful or try to be faithful to the Lord, who laugh at the fact that we are remaining true to the Word of God. And so he says the climate is going to be one, the spiritual climate, of danger. It's going to be dangerous to take a stand for Christ. Difficult. Not so much among the world, because the world's always hated Christians. You can't change that. Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. If you're a follower, they're going to hate you. I'm not talking about the world. He's saying, in the arena called the church, I'm not talking about a building. I hope you don't think I'm talking about. I'm talking about in this family we call the church. There will be those who profess to know Christ. They don't, but they profess. And they will make it difficult on those who try to live by the standards and the principles of the Word of God. They will laugh. They will come to our Sunday school classes and they'll disrupt, or Bible classes and they'll disrupt. They'll try to speak into your ear those things that are not true. They'll use all kinds of resources to do so, to pull us away from the Word of God. That is a dangerous, 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 dangerous thing. The mind, that's why for centuries now and for the last 50 plus years, our universities have done everything they can to put in place professors and teachers that are going to take the hearts and the minds of our young people when they get off to college and convince them that what they've been told by the church is a lie. And many of them are going to say, I know, I'm a Christian myself. So don't think that I'm a Christian, but I'm telling you what you've been taught is wrong. It's a dangerous environment that we are living in the church age. And it will get more dangerous the closer we get to the return of Christ. He says, in the last day, perilous times will come. And then in chapter 3, beginning with verse 2, he begins to list a long list of the characteristics of those, listen, those who profess to know Christ. These are not people who do not profess to know him. These are those who profess to know Christ. This is how they're going to be living. And yet they're going to see nothing wrong with it. They're going to give support for it. They're going to tell you that it's okay, and the world's going to buy into it. So he lists in verses 2 through 5, in just 4 verses, he gives 18 different characteristics of those who will profess to know Christ, but who will be living a life totally contradictory to the ways of Christ. And it will be because sin is going to be promoted and accepted in a bolder and a broader way. It's hard to believe that it could get any worse than it is now, correct? But yet, the closer we get to Christ, more sin will be promoted in a bold and a broad way. It will be accepted more than ever before. By the way, all of us know this. There are things right now that we talk about in the church family that we're standing against that just 10 years ago, we would not have even had to discuss. We wouldn't even had to talk about it. There were things that we knew, the Bible taught is true, but now, because sin is being promoted boldly, everything you pick up, turn on your TV, go to your internet, pick up your cell phone, go to your computer, listen to your radio. Sin is promoted bolder than it's ever been promoted. There is no shame in sin in America today or anywhere in the world that I'm aware of. People take to the streets to promote sin. They will rally to promote sin, whether it be a sexual sin or whatever. They'll promote. They're proud of their sin. And the closer we get to Christ, the more sin will be promoted and the more it will be accepted. Accepted by who? Many in the church. That's why today you get real quiet. You get real quiet every time. Every time I have this conversation with people in my family that are Christians, they get real quiet. You start talking about where life begins and what real life is. People get real quiet. They're Christians. They get real quiet. They've embraced what they've heard. You start talking about sexuality, how God made man and woman, male and female. And it stops there. God said, I made male and female, man and woman. You start talking about that in our families, Christian families, in the church, people get real quiet. They don't want to talk about that because they've embraced a theology, a thinking, because it's been promoted as such. And if you don't believe that, you're a bigot. You just don't love people. You hate people. No, no, no. It's quite the contrary. We do love people. We are tolerant of people. But the Word of God is the Word of God. And yet, I promise you, I could start preaching today, and there are many of you, you've already turned me off. And I know why. Because your family is like my family. We can't separate our emotions from our faith when we ought to be able to do that. Because we have people in our families who embrace those lifestyles, we get offended at the preacher. We leave the church when he preaches. You have no idea how many families have left this church because we believe the Word of God teaches that God made man and woman, male and female. We believe that marriage is that union between a man and a woman and a man and a woman only. And when you preach that and people have in their families those who have lifestyles differently, we love them just as much. But they get angry, and they say, you'll never see us again. We're taking our family, we're taking our money, we're leaving. Why? Because the closer we get to the return of Christ, dangerous, perilous times not will come, have come, and they'll get worse. People will embrace in a bold way sin as it is promoted in every arena. And so we'll find that revealing itself. Notice these verses. I probably won't get past verse 2 through 5 today, but notice these characteristics, if you will. I listed them so that we can see what is happening in our world and see the progression of it. It will begin with the individual. It says that people will begin by being lovers of their own self. That's where it always starts. is lovers of self. Because when we begin to love ourselves more than we love God and more than we love others, it's only one way we can go, and it's a downhill spiral. It's never up. And so he says they will become lovers of themselves. This is the individual, the way we will live individually. Many people will become lovers of their own self. I believe the original meaning of that is self-kissers. They'll wake up every day and give themselves a kiss because they are what matters. Lovers of self. Covetous, he says. Lovers of money. People will become covetous. They will be lovers of money. Boasters. They'll boast. They don't have any shame. They don't feel any conviction. They'll boast about their lives and what they can do in their sin. They will be proud. Arrogant is the word there. Blasphemers. Bitter with their words. Bitter with their words. That's what the word blasphemer means. Bitter with their words. There's nothing you can say to them that will satisfy your belief, your faith. They will return what you say to them with bitter words. Sound like anybody you know? This is the individual. This is how people will live their lives, centering on themselves. And notice how this trend starts going downward. As we adopt that lifestyle individually, it begins to affect the family. He says from there they would become disobedient to parents. I'm not going to look at the teenagers because they'll think that I know something about them. Disobedient to parents. Because in our individual lives we become lovers of self, the family won't matter. Because it's no longer about the family. It is about me. Instead of getting up every morning kissing my mom and telling her that I love her, I get up and kiss me and tell me how much I love me. That's literally what Paul's trying to paint the picture of. That there's no concern about the family or the family unit. It's all about the individual. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. In this context, he's using that word to say they will be unthankful for their family, for the family unit, for the family context, for what they get out of family, the community of family. Unthankful, unholy. Unholy. They'll despise mom and dad rather than honor father and mother. It goes from the individual right into the family, bringing the chaos with it, and he wraps up this thought by using that phrase, without natural affection. That phrase, without natural affection, means there will be no real family love. Why is there no real family love? Because we're in love with ourselves, not with our families. It's not about our families. It's about us. It's about me. Now, keep in mind, he's got this all in the context of in the last days before Christ comes. So it begins with the individual. It makes its way into the family. Satan is sort of sharp and sly, is he not? He knows as the family goes, so goes the world. So he starts with individuals in families. If I had a dollar for every person that stepped into my office and said, Pastor Roy, our family is being destroyed by, and they'll name a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife. It'll be one member of the family unit that completely cares nothing about the family as a whole. All they are worried about is themselves. Lovers of self. We see it every day. That's why divorce runs rampant. That's why all kinds of things in the family happen. There's all kinds of abuses in the family. It all comes back to the fact that we forget about everybody but ourselves. And then from the family, it will naturally affect all of society, business, work life, the people that we associate with in society. He says from there, they will be truce breakers. Unforgiving, unyielding is what that word means. Slanderers, false accusers. I was reading this morning some material that was given to me because a judge had said that, and had taken the stand that he would not marry homosexuals, that now he is being falsely accused in all kinds of ways. He never even got approached to marry anyone. Nobody ever approached him, but he made it his conviction strong that as a Christian, he could not do that. And he is under attack, and he is being accused now of not fulfilling his role as a judge. False accusers. Incontinent. That means without self-control. The world will be out of control. Do we not see this every day around us? People who have no self-control whatsoever. They say they can't. I meet with them and I'll say, why don't you do this? Pastor Roy, you just don't understand. I can't. I don't have control. Fierce. Some of these words ought to shock us because we're not completely here yet, but we will get there. That word fierce means people will be brutal. 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 No concern for feelings. No concern for life. No concern for anyone else's self-worth. They will be brutal. Life will not matter. How can someone pick up a gun and begin shooting at people they don't even know? Because people will be brutal. How can someone take a beautiful child off the street and do to them what we hear of every day in the news? Because people become brutal. And if you follow the news, here's where it always sort of winds up. And they really put it in bold, bright letters. That person professed to be a follower of Christ or of God, or they were a member of a church. See it all the time. Doesn't mean that they know God. Brutal. Brutal. Fierce. Traitors. Untrustworthy is what that means. I've learned as a pastor a few things. When I was going into the ministry, one of my professors at my Bible college said to me, Roy, you have one thing that will work against you when you start pastoring. You love people and you're going to trust them. That's going to hurt you. Oh, how true that was. And the longer we live, the longer I serve the Lord in ministry, the more I understand that most people are not trustworthy. They'll turn. Who hurts us the most? Who hurts us the most in life? It's those that we love the most. Who hurts us in the church? It's hardly never those outside the church. It's those in the church that we sat by, that we thought loved us, and yet they turn. They're not faithful. They're not loyal, not to you, to the faith. Because as a body, we're to build each other up, not tear each other down. As a body, we're to be forgiving and not harbor anger and bitterness, all of those things that cause people to turn. Traitors. Heady is the next word, King James word. It means reckless or rash. You don't have to do much for them to be reckless or rash. Have you ever just not paid attention in traffic today to see how people react? Did you know we live in a country now where you cannot make a mistake? Have you noticed that? You just can't make a mistake. You can't be daydreaming and be sitting at a red light more than a second when it turns green. Because if you do, people become rash. Bomp, bomp. They don't even know what the horn is until you stop and don't move. And then they come around you flying, and they, with a heady mind, a rashful mind, will give you the number one signal. Here's what's bad about it. It's not in the world only. It happens here all the time. Heady, rash. Quick to speak your mind, because, by the way, we know everything. I sit in the church in all kinds of forms. I have people tell people how they're supposed to dress in the church. They're rash with their words. Well, you're not dressed just right to be here. When they tell you that, you tell them, Pastor Roy said you're dressed just fine. Okay? Well, you don't need to be wearing that in here. You tell them it's okay. Okay? We become rash with our words. Rash, you're in my seat. Really? If you want on that pew, I can tell you what it cost, and we will give you a pew. I promise you, we'll let you buy your pew. We become rash with our words. Heady means we just quickly speak openly how we feel without worrying or caring about anybody else. So what if they leave hurt? So what if that person leaves and today their spirit was harmed? It may mean nothing to you, but it means everything to God. He says people will be heady, reckless with their words and reckless with their actions, rash. All because they'll be high-minded, he says, puffed up, conceited. I know none of us are like that. Why? Only Steve Stoney's like that. I love having Steve Stone back there. At least I got one with me. Lovers, and here's why. It began because they were lovers of their own selves. When you love your own self, you consider what self wants. And so we become, he says, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I want to read this quote to you. If you haven't heard anything else this morning, would you listen? This is not my quote. I'm not really sure where I got this, but I know it's not mine. But I want to read three or four sentences to you. In this universe, are you listening, teenagers? Moms and dads, are you listening? Grandparents, are you listening this morning? Not to me, but to these words. In this universe, there is God, there are people, and there are things. The Bible teaches us that we should worship God, love people, and use things. Be good stewards of things. But if we start worshiping ourselves, we will ignore God. We'll start loving things, and we cannot help but start using people. And then whoever wrote this said this, this is the formula for a miserable life. And how true it is. In this universe, there is God, there are people, and there are things. The Word of God teaches us to love and worship God, to love people, and to be good stewards of things. But when we get it out of whack and we become lovers of self, and lovers of self consume themselves with one thing, what selves want, no one else matters. That's why we're living in the world we're living in today, because people are craving things more than ever before. There's a deep craving, not for meaningful relationships, but for things, for stuff, more and bigger and better stuff. More drugs, stronger drugs, better drugs. More homes, bigger houses, more beautiful houses. Not just a job, a better job. One that's going to, we're on this course because we've become thirsty and we're craving the things of this world, the pleasures of this world. If you look around today, folks, I'll take this up with anybody that's not here this morning. You can tell them I said it. 99% of everybody that's not here who calls themselves a believer, who are members of this church, are not here because they are somewhere searching after something that they are craving for. Now, people don't like that, but it's the truth. They're either craving a game on a golf course, or they're craving an activity with someone else, or they've gone because they've got this happening and their kids want everything about them and so they're chasing after that. They've got all kinds of things. It has little to do with their desire for God. It's because we have learned to crave things. We become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And it is destroying the opportunities that we have to bring our children to faith. That's why Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, you need something to pass on. If you don't follow after God, they're not going to listen to you. You can't tell them to follow after God. How dare a parent tell a child to seek God when they're not seeking God? To live a godly life, don't you do this, and I love it. I love it. I love the way the world does it. I hate it when I hear this phrase, well, that's an adult beverage. What? What do you mean an adult beverage? We have given such beautiful names to our sin, have we not? We've learned how to do it well. We've learned how to seek after our pleasure, feel good in our pleasure, because we are men and women who love pleasure more than we love God. I hear parents say, well, you can't have that. That's an adult beverage. Oh, it's okay for you, but it's not okay for your child or your teenager. Don't worry. One day they'll become an adult, and guess what? They're going to follow you, mom and dad. I wished, again, you could hear the stories of men and women who come out of denominations who advocate the use of alcoholic beverages, and today they have paid literally tens of thousands of dollars for their children because they become alcoholics, and they say, it was taught by my religion, it was taught by my faith, and now I'm having to pay for it, not only with my money, but their lives are ruined. It's easy. It's easy to be those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, because it starts with the individual. It affects the family. All of society pays the price for it, because people don't even have to know you today. They don't even care to know you today to treat you the way that they treat you from day to day. It blends into society, works its way right into the church, all because we have a form of godliness, a form. But we deny the power. In other words, I can say I'm a Christian, that's good enough. I don't have to have the power of God to keep me from acting that way. We deny the power of God. Don't ever say, I couldn't help what I said. Yes, you could have. Don't ever say that. Don't believe that lie. Well, I just had to speak my mind. No, you did not. No, you should have swallowed your tongue. You didn't have to speak your mind. God gives you the power not to speak your mind. God gives you the power not to be angry and sin. It's one thing to be angry, but the Bible says be angry and sin not. Don't deny the power of God. You say, I can't overcome that. Don't deny the power of God. The power is the fruit that God lives in you. You can't do it yourself. No, you can't do it yourself. But the fact that God lives in you is evidence that you are born again by the Spirit of God. God has breathed life into you. And now at one time you didn't care about anybody, but today you do care. You are sensitive to the people around you. You're not rash. You do understand. You're trying to follow after the things of God. Not lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, I assure you of something. I don't know how many more months or weeks or days I will have as your pastor. But whoever your next pastor comes, my prayer is that he will preach the Word of God just like we ought to preach the Word of God. And if he does, here's what's going to happen at Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. More and more people are going to leave. You don't like that, do you? We're going to talk about this, and we don't have time today. You don't want me to finish today. We're going to talk about how those people who preach a different message will worm their way into the houses and the lives of many. Those who know their lives are miserable. We're going to deal with this next week. They are miserable. They are laden with guilt. And they'll have some slick-tongued preacher that will convince them that that guilt is not shouldn't be that bad. Just forgive yourself. God's not that kind of a God. You're all right. They'll offer them solutions. They'll feel good for themselves for a little while, but then the problems that they have still persist. Why? Because they're ever searching for the answers, but they're going to the wrong source. Ever searching, never finding the truth. We have but one book that is truth. It's called the Bible.
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.